Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
I can't, it's off my bucket list now, coming in to preach with the Rocky theme song. All right. Okay. Hang on a second. All right. No, I knew this was going to be like a major shift. We're talking about children who aren't eating very well, and I want to run into Rocky. What am I thinking? We are, throughout the course of 2013, we are going to be talking about six different times where we're talking about being healthy, okay? And so this is kind of crazy, but 6 weeks ago or so, we talked about dieting and how God can be honored through that. This week, we're going to talk about something that we all love, exercise. Are you ready for that? I mean, you do church in a gym after all, right? So you might have noticed the praise band, they were all dressed in their workout outfits and they were ready to go. And so I thought, well, it'd be fitting if I was a little bit more casual today as well. So this is the old idea. We want to look at the connection between our spiritual health and our physical health. And really, we're asking ourselves over the course of this whole series, you know, is there really a legitimate connection between the physical and the spiritual? So we really want to ask a very basic question like that, okay? So here's where I want to start. Exercise. In our convenience-driven society, exercise is like the first thing to go, isn't it? I mean, we drive everywhere. We use elevators and escalators. Even when we go to the airports, we get on those little moving sidewalks that are pretty cool. I mean, we always try to find the quickest, shortest, most easiest way to get somewhere with the least amount of effort. I mean, that's just kind of how our society rolls. And because of that, obesity has never been at a greater level than it has been in our world, really, but mainly, especially in America. And so this is kind of an interesting thing for us. This is the other thing that I find to be very fascinating. The exercise industry is a $26 billion industry annually. $26 billion that Americans put into exercise stuff, whether it's buying some type of exercise equipment or joining a gym or anything like that. $26 billion. It's hard to believe, 30,000 gyms in America employing over 500,000 people within those gyms. We love to be people who love to have gym memberships and talk about working out, and some of us do a very good job of working out, and it's obvious that some of us don't. So we need to talk about, is there this connection, though, between, because we're not the YMCA, right? I don't need to talk about your physical health today as much as I want to talk about that connection between our physical health and our spiritual. And I want to do this in a way that kind of grabs our attention, so that's why I'm dressed the way that I am. But I want to ask you this question. What's your favorite form of exercise? I mean, what do you guys like to do to you know, get the cardiovascular system going or whatever? Just, yep. Elliptical, I heard? Walking? Play my drums? You can get a workout doing that. Cross-country skiing? I have a story about that. Tennis, yes. I'm sorry? Eating? If you ever watch Bob Eat, it is a cardiovascular workout. Yoga? Yeah, yard, farm work? Absolutely. Okay, here's some good ideas. Now, see, I found a video online this week, and this is the reason why I'm terrified to work out. Maybe you'll identify with this poor guy's experience on a treadmill. Just watch this. Oh. there's good reason not to get on a treadmill when you get home, right there. How many of you have flown off a treadmill? Anybody? It is a terrifying experience. I was at a hotel one time. I wasn't a runner at this point, or of much of any point in my life, but I was at this hotel running, and Corbin was quite little, and he comes walking up to this place, and I'm running, and I stopped to say, no, don't do that, and went, whoa, right into the wall behind me. Oh, you cannot stop running on a treadmill. Crazy stuff. All right, so there is some biblical understanding of exercise that I want to talk about. It's not going to be all fun and games today. But when I looked throughout Scripture getting ready for this message, I saw that training and exercise was kind of a part of three different things. Well, training more specifically. Number one, I saw a lot of opportunities where God's people were being trained for war. And so that was like a very strong thing that people would undergo great training for war. That there was training involved in various skills and trades, and that there was also training when you were participating in sporting events. And so throughout the Old Testament, we see lots of examples of when people are being trained for war. As a matter of fact, in Chronicles, I believe, it's God's people are being kind of listed. And it says, in just listing three different tribes of Israel, that it acknowledges that there were 45,000 trained soldiers ready to do battle. So it was a very significant part of who they were. And it was not really until the rise of the Roman Empire that we saw a new form of training being discussed in the Scriptures, and that was the training of an athlete. Because, again, with the Roman authority that came into play, there was this new idea of competing for the games and doing various athletic activity that had never really been a part of society prior to this. But Paul talks about this, and he utilizes the incredible popularity of sport to help us understand and draw parallels to our spiritual life. He's writing to the church in Corinth these words. This is 1 Corinthians 9. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now, the Greek word that he uses in the sentence of do you not know is duh. That's a Greek word. I don't know if you know that. Duh. Everybody knows that everybody runs in a race. Everybody knows that only one person gets the prize. This is becoming the most wildly popular thing going on out there. So he's saying something very simple to them. But then he goes on to say, run in such a way as to get the prize. See, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. See, the crown in the day of Paul was not something that was metal that you'd wear around your chest, or a trophy that you would take home that would sit on your shelf. How many of you have trophies sitting in boxes and medals sitting in boxes, and they were your childhood or whatever? When you guys get trophies, I mean, you put them on your shelf somewhere. You're so excited about it. It's awesome. But the trophies that people were winning in this day and age were simply just a little crown that was made out of some type of plant. And it would be placed on their head, and they would walk around saying, hey, I won the race. But we know what plants do. When you cut them from the vine, they die. And so they would be working all of this hard, hard, strict training for a prize that would literally wither away. And so Paul's drawing this analogy. If those people are willing to work so hard for a prize that will wither away, could we not work harder or as hard for a prize that nothing can take away from us? I mean, the prize of Jesus Christ and eternal life in heaven is something that no one, nothing can take from us. And so we watch this all the time in our society. Sports is still wildly popular. Does anybody else get frustrated whenever some athlete comes out with a new contract and all the millions of dollars that they're going to earn to play a game? And I think of that every time I think of an athlete getting a new multi-million dollar contract, and I think the impact that they really make on our society. I get really frustrated, and some of you will be happy that I say this, but I get really frustrated that the people that have the greatest impact of society, and I'm thinking about teachers when I say this, get paid almost as little as anybody in our society, but athletes get held up to this highest esteem. And it's really frustrating to see that happen. But we watch this. You know, how many people got excited that the Tigers are back playing preseason ball, right? How many were happy that, you know, the Red Wings were supposedly to show up to play hockey again, right? I mean, hockey's back, basketball's playing, it's March Madness season, we're all getting pumped up about all of that. And the realities are, we watch these athletes and we know that they're going through incredible amounts of training. The one reason I love college basketball so much is because these are real kids who still go to school, who still have to take tests, and aren't getting paid anything to do what they're doing except getting free school. And they go out there with their best effort all the time, and I love that. And I get sickened about some professional sports when I think about how much someone gets paid. So we can easily understand just how much we can hold an athlete up to that standard and know how much hard work that they have to go through. But the question that Paul's asking and the question that I ask today is, are we giving similar effort in our spiritual journey? Are we willing to put in that kind of time that would be required to win the prize? Because see, Paul doesn't say just do enough to be in the game. Paul says we should run our faith. We should run toward Christ as if we're wanting to run to actually win the prize, to actually be number one. And that's a big, I mean, honestly, that's just huge to me. It's mind-boggling because I recognize the amount of work that athletes go through. Now, Paul says this again. He's kind of mentoring a young preacher named Timothy, and Timothy is in a town called Ephesus, and he's planted this church there. And Paul sends him several letters to kind of just encourage Timothy along the way. And he's in this letter, in his first letter to Timothy, in the fourth chapter, he uses this sentence that just kind of stands out to me. He says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." Again, Paul takes what's common, and Timothy is ministering into a community that is filled with earthly pleasures, idol worship, and a lot of sport and game. That's his community. And so Paul recognizes that that's the community that Timothy's working in. And he says to him, listen, you've got a lot of people around you who are going to put a lot of stock in sport. They're going to put a lot of stock in getting healthy, or a lot of stock in working out or taking care of themselves. Here's the deal. That has some value. That has some value in our world. But there is something that has a greater value, because it won't just end here. And it's actually the only thing that you can take with you. And then that is our spiritual development. So here's kind of where, sorry, here's where I want to kind of put, if you shook my hand today, by the way, you might want to put some good cleanser on. Here's where I want to insert just a quick warning. And I know time is flying away from us, and so I'm trying to move through things very quickly. Here's where I want to put a quick warning. I believe with all of my heart that we can honor God when we take care of ourselves. I believe that we honor God when we are mindful of our own bodies, and when we work out and when we eat correctly and all those things. And we talked about that with the dieting part, and I certainly agree with that again here. But we need to be careful that we don't get out of balance with this. Because Paul's using this as an analogy to say, that you need to work that hard with your spiritual life, right? So what we do is when we work out and when we give that much effort, we can begin to understand how our spiritual journey can look as well. Thanks, I've got 3 bottles of water up here, but I appreciate it. I will do whatever Marianne tells you to do. So, what I want to say is we can get very easily off track when we start talking about physical workouts, and all of a sudden our body isn't the vessel to give God glory. It becomes a thing that we want to give glory. Okay? So this is my word of warning. And we covered this as well kind of a few weeks ago, but again, it bears saying again that Paul also says in Corinthians that our body is a temple of God. Okay, so I'll read that scripture for you as well. This comes from 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, this is a question mark. Don't you know this? So he goes on to say, you're not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So it's important for us as believers to honor God with our body and not just take this lightly. Okay? But our body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. It is the house of which should be glorified. The Spirit should be glorified, but not the house. So here's where I need to be honest with everybody, and this goes to men and women and everybody. We can shame God's name by becoming lazy and undisciplined, both physically and spiritually. We can also shame his name by becoming obsessed with our outward appearance. And this isn't just working out. This is a lot of different things, the clothes you wear and everything, right? So the key is to maintain moderation and a godly perspective in all that we do. And this is hard in our society. This is challenging for men and for women. I think it's probably more challenging, quite honestly, for ladies. You may be trying to incorporate some healthy habits in your weekly routine, and this would be good. You know, maybe eating healthier, walking and running, cardiovascular, all the different things you guys mentioned already. The key is for us, and our desire must be, to glorify God with our bodies and to maintain the temple that he has given us and to provide a healthy vessel from which our minds and our emotions and spirit can work together. But we cannot allow our attention to become on how good we look. So I've got some questions to ask. I mean, can God be glorified and shamed by our physical lives? Absolutely. All right. But see, here's the questions I would like to ask you. Men, do you pump iron so that you can impress others and walk down the street with a tight shirt? I walk down the street with a tight shirt. That's because no shirt fits me. Okay? But I mean, I've seen some guys. They buy extra small shirts and they're, you know, they can't turn their neck anymore. See? Maybe you're thinking of someone as well. Now, ladies, now this is serious. I mean, this is serious stuff. Do you strive to be skinny so that you can live up to the world standard of what beauty is according to magazines and everything else that's not airbrushed, right? I mean, do you feel the need to shed pounds so that you can compete for the glances of men? You wear certain clothes to get the glances of men? These are serious questions. Has getting into shape caused you to develop an ungodly attitude toward your body? Now, this is so important. And seeing every imperfection instead of seeing the perfect craftsmanship of God. Because see, you know, when you're getting ready to jump in the shower, you're going, oh boy. Right? Now maybe there's room for improvement. But when we start to see every imperfection and we start to feel like shame because of what we look like, all of a sudden we've taken a perfect gift that God has given us and we have said, yeah, that's not really all that good. And when God has given you something, you ought to adore it. And that adoring idea of who you are and what your body shape is and all those things, it can be healthy even if you don't have the perfect shape. It can be. Because it's all about how we want to visualize things. See, there's a filter in our eyes. And when we have the filter on our eyes that's of the world standards, none of us measure up. None of us do. Nobody can obtain that. I mean, you look at some of the swimsuit models, when they're not on a photo shoot, they don't look like that. They starve themselves for a while to look. None of that's reality. And so we try to live up to something that's just false. But what we ought to be doing is allowing ourselves to be seen through God's eyes as perfect craftsmanship. He has given you your body. The question is are you doing your part to maintain and to keep that temple to be something that God can receive glory from? And that is a challenge for all of us. And I want to just kind of be really practical with some things as I bring this to a close, all right? What are some ways that I can increase my awareness of God working in and through my exercise habits? Well, I got three things real quickly today, just to kind of, how can I heighten my awareness of God in my exercise habits? Number one is, I need you to understand this. God doesn't work in just making you feel stronger all the time. Sometimes our bodies are frail and they fail us. And so I want to recognize that those moments of failure, those moments of pain, are opportunities for you to recognize God's work in your life too. Because when our bodies are strong and when everything is about what we are and who we are and how much iron I pump, we become very self-focused. God allows our bodies to fail at times to remind us that our dependence isn't to be on our own strength and our own muscles and our own body, but it's to be on Him. Paul says it again somewhere else, that, you know, in our weakness, that's when God is made strong. So he allows certain weaknesses to come into our life so that he can remind us once again that it's not us who are strong, that it's not us who are in control, it's him. So when our bodies fail, we don't need to be angry at God, we need to pull up and get close to God, and we need to trust God. That's what we are to learn in those moments. Second thing I wanted to mention is that there's a strong connection between physical and spiritual determination. Physical and spiritual determination. Now, Paul knew this in his writings that we've already read today. And I think it's clear for anybody who's ever set out to run a 5K or even like a marathon or anything. That's crazy, okay? But there are those moments where you want to quit. Trudy, right? There's like a wall every race. You hit this wall. And you just want to say, that's it. I can't go any further. And it's not until you can somehow bust through that wall where all of a sudden you can experience something new. And what is God teaching us in those moments when we learn greater determination? He's learning that sometimes when we dig deeper in our runs or when we dig deeper in our workouts, we learn something new about us, that we had more than we thought we had. And spiritually speaking, that's true too. That when we spiritually kind of get to the end of our rope and we hit the spiritual wall, that we need to be people who fight through that. We need to be people who understand that God's got something greater on the other side of that wall. And he wants us to continue to run and continue to fight through. And so we shouldn't give up, but we need to run as if we're going to win that prize and bust through that wall. And the third thing I want to leave you with is this, that we have the opportunity in taking care of our bodies to combine that effort, that workout, with worship. I know this is hard to believe, but a few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, I got into running. And I thought it would be the way to shed some pounds, but I mean, the reality was that there was a race that was in our town, and so Tammy and I decided we would run this race. And so we began to train. I remember the first time I ran, our house lived on this half-mile stretch of 72nd Street in Byron Center. And so I remember going out on one end and running all the way to the end and going, holy smokes. I mean, half a mile. That was pretty awesome. It only took me like 45 minutes. It's pretty impressed. I was pretty impressed. And so I got back, you know, so I thought, you know, that's one reality. When you're running, you go, oh, man, I got to get back, you know. So I got back home. But then I remember, like, being able to run that without stopping. I remember then, like, ducking into some of the neighborhoods and adding some mileage on and getting to that point where I could run 4 miles or so. And I thought, man, that's pretty amazing. I mean, I remember running in the spring, in the summer, and in the fall, running in the winter. I mean, running again in that spring. I ran for over a year. And I had suffered a little bit of an injury, and so I kind of took a break and really never got back into it. And here's what I miss the most. Here's what I treasure the most about those runs. Was my iPod on my hip, listening to some great Chris Tomlin or listening to some great Christian music. And it was just in those moments where I didn't hear my breathing. Whenever my earbud would fall out, and I'd go, oh, my word, you sound like you're dying out here. So I'd stick it back in real quick, and I'd get back into breathing and running and just listening to these songs, and I had to turn up the volume, you know. And I would just listen to the lyrics differently. I would just worship God in those moments. I would pray. God would put things on my heart in those moments. The most treasured part of running for me was not what I physically was trying to get out of any of that. It was all surrounding the opportunities of being with God. I'd like to run alone more than run with Tammy. I had another friend that I ran with, Scott. I just wanted to run with the earbuds on and worshiping God because it was just time alone. So awesome. And so when we exercise and when we work out, we have great opportunities to do so in combining our efforts of worshiping God along the way. So we're going to land the ship. Steve found a song for us to sing kind of as our benediction today. So I'm going to invite Steve and the band to come up and get going with this. It's a powerful song. Because here's what I need you to hear. And as they're coming, I still want you to stay focused on me, okay? Here's what I need you to hear. Through our efforts of being healthy, we've got to be people who don't get kind of imbalanced and get to the point where we're so focused on our bodies and on our health that we're missing what Paul was trying to teach us, is that there's this connection to our spiritual life. We can't go for runs and do all this stuff and ignore our Bible and ignore the opportunities to pray. But we can combine all these things together, and when we do, we're giving God glory. See, we honor God when we honor our body, when we take care of this vessel that He's given us. And so what we need to understand is that no matter what we're doing, running, jogging, playing basketball, whatever it is, I want to do it all for the glory of God. I want to do all of it for the glory of God. So when I'm out there playing ball, I want to do that for the glory of God. I want to treat the guys around me as if I'm doing it for the glory of God. When I'm out running, if I'm ever out running again, I want to do that for the glory of God. I want to fight through those moments, all for the glory of God. This song was written with the inspiration of Ecclesiastes. This book in the Old Testament says there's a time for this and there's a time for that. There's a time for health and there's a time for sickness. There is nothing outside of the reach of God in our world, okay? But there is always room for us to give God glory in what we're doing. And I mean, this has implications on your workplace, on your family. Everything is for the glory of God, right? So I want, if we're going to get serious about being healthy in 2013, if we're going to manage our diets, or if we're going to manage our exercise things, here's how we have to do it. We have to do it in a sense that we're going to give God all the glory. All the glory. And I think that we can do that, okay? Let's stand together and let's prepare our hearts to sing this song. I'm going to pray for us. God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your glory that we want to be reflecting back to you today. May all of our efforts, all of our workouts, all of our attention to our physical bodies just be a simple effort of wanting to take care of what you've given to us. And may we reflect your glory back to you. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.